Welcome to the Inside Light podcast, a space for healing, self-connection, and all things spiritual. I'm Terry, also known in the sober world as Sassy Sober Mum, and I believe that within each of us lives a guiding light, a quiet, powerful presence that always knows the way. Here, we'll explore the many paths back to that light. Together, we'll dive into stories of healing, practices that bring us home to ourselves, and conversations about awakening. Those moments when we remember who we truly are. Whether you're seeking clarity, courage, or simply a reminder that you are not alone on your journey of life, this podcast is here to hold space for you. Because the light inside you has never gone out. It's always been guiding you, waiting for you to come back home. This is the Inside Light podcast. Let's begin. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about trusting your intuition. I think this episode and this subject is quite close to my heart, actually, because I feel like on the run-up to what was probably the biggest crisis that I've had, certainly in the last kind of 10 years, if not maybe in my life, I don't know, it's up there anyway, which is having a child going into burnout and stopping going to school, I feel like my intuition really became louder in this process. And it was actually my intuition that I think helped me get through that process and then led me down the path to a spiritual awakening. And it's funny because I would say that I'm somebody that didn't have great instinct. I didn't feel like I was in touch with my intuition at all. I think probably a lot of that plays into my drinking story because, you know, I did have, from the ages of kind of 14, 15, I did, you know, drink and kind of party quite a lot. And I felt a little bit like I was just on life's treadmill. I was just kind of like one step in front of the other, but not really paying that much attention to what I was thinking or feeling internally, other than when things were not great. And I was just being kind of pulled around by life. That's the best way that I can describe it, really. And so when I reflect on my 20s, 30s, even early 40s, I don't know if I would describe myself as somebody that had good instinct or that was very in touch with their intuition. And I think if somebody had come along and said to me, what do you do to trust your intuition, or how do you listen to your intuition, I would probably look at them quite puzzled. And I would think, I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I think, yeah, I probably had a feeling that something may or may not be right. But I was probably somebody that was quite good at ignoring red flags, whether that was in relationships or in jobs or, you know, all kinds of situations, really. I was somebody that might just decide I was going to do something or decide I was going to be with someone, or and I would just steamroller ahead, really, whether there were red flags or green flags or any flags. So I wasn't connected to my intuition at all. But that is completely different to how I feel my experience of life is today, certainly in this season of my life where I am now. And I'm starting to realize that the more I drop in and give myself space to listen to my intuition, and the more that I choose to follow it, the more I'm kind of being rewarded by it, and the stronger that connection is feeling like it's getting. So today I want to introduce intuition and kind of what it is, you know, that inner compass, the inner voice, the gut feeling. It is something that we all have, but I think a lot of people perhaps were or are like how I was, the struggle to hear it. And I want by the end of this episode for you to understand why your intuition might feel quiet, and hopefully how to give yourself an opportunity to reconnect with it, and trusting that it will transform the way that you see yourself and the relationship that you have with yourself. So I suppose thinking about why we feel disconnected from our intuition, I think a lot of this comes down to early programming. As children, a lot of us were taught to listen to parents, listen to teachers, to follow the rules, you know, the culture, the societal expectations in our environment. And that overrides connecting and relying on our inner knowing, because we sort of learn to rely on all of these external factors, external guidance, external messages. And society values logic, it values rational thought, and it tends to value external validation more than inner wisdom. Inner wisdom is difficult to comprehend. It's difficult to perhaps lay our finger on what inner wisdom is. I mean, I have my, I have my views on this now. I think that the inner wisdom is our higher self. And our higher self is always trying to guide us down the path that we have predetermined. Not that we are supposed to follow every single step by step. I do think we have choices in human life, but there is a sole purpose, and there are a bunch of lessons that I think we're here to learn. And our higher self is there to help us to walk along the path that we kind of predetermined before we came here. So that's quite deep and quite heavy, and I appreciate that not everybody might connect with that or have ever even thought about it in that way before. But I think we can all perhaps agree that sometimes intuition, it's a mystery. You know, it's kind of a mystical experience when you hear some guidance. You might hear it out loud, you might feel it, you might see it. You might just get some kind of internal recognition that something's right or not right. And it is a bit of a sort of, where does that come from? What is that that's going on inside? It's difficult to explain, I think. And that's probably why culturally we don't tend to encourage it, because we can't really explain it. And I think in human 3D life, and on this planet, we just culturally like to be able to explain things. And that's why so many of us lean to science, because science can explain a lot. It can't explain everything, but it can explain most things. I also think that fear and self-doubt, our own inner narratives around not being able to do something, or not being good enough, or just having anxiety and fear, I think that fear voice can quite easily drown out the voice of intuition. And sometimes trauma, conditioning, or experiences of being dismissed as a kid, you know, hearing things like, oh, don't be silly, you're imagining it. You know, I think, I don't know about you, but in my childhood, and this is not to blame my parents, it's just culturally, I think this is the sort of programming template that a lot of parents follow or were following back then. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I would remember saying, oh, I feel really scared of that thing. And my parents would say, oh, don't be silly. It's going to be fine. You know, did it. And so that, you know, I understand that the intention behind that is to try and make me feel better, to make me not feel scared. I get that. But actually what that does, that early programming, is teaching me that what I'm thinking and feeling is actually not the reality. It's not real. And so I think that not getting that validation perhaps in our earlier years, because the intentions of our caregivers were to try and put us at ease, or to just, you know, not be silly, it's not a big deal, and dismiss it. I just think that really tunes us out of our inner light, our inner guiding light. And there's a lovely quote by Joy Page that says, your inner knowing is your only true compass. And I see this a lot when I coach clients. I see that so many people that I work with are not connected to their inner wisdom. They're not connected to their inner guiding light. They don't trust themselves to make the right decisions. They don't trust things that might come up. And part of my job is trying to reconnect them back into themselves and to start listening to what their instinct or their gut feeling is saying, because I truly, truly believe that we have everything we need. We honestly do. We have all of the answers inside of us, but we're disconnected from those for the reasons I just mentioned. And so sometimes, you know, maybe it's a coming back to that place, or it's a finding that place, because we may never have been connected to ourselves, depending on our early life experience. So what are the signs of intuition? How do we know when intuition is speaking to us? A lot of intuition is embodied. It comes through subtle body cues like butterflies feeling, maybe having a tight chest or a lightness or a heaviness. For me, when I started meditating more regularly and doing breath work when I was in crisis mode late last year, one of the things that I noticed was that in meditation, I was starting to get these sort of flutters in my heart area, my kind of heart kind of chakra area. And it's really noticeable, and it still happens now, like quite often. I think when I connect in with myself or connect to my higher self, I have that feeling of, yes, I'm anchored in. I can feel energy coming and washing over me, and I can feel that, I don't know, there's almost like a tingle in my body and a tingle in the air. And that's just something that I've developed through having a relatively consistent practice. Not every day. I wish it was every day. I strive for every day, and I know many people do every day. But for me, I give myself time when I can, which is definitely every week, but more often than not, a few times a week. And so intuition is usually kind of quiet whispers. It's not really usually like loud warning bells. It's not usually kind of negative or telling you that you're doing something wrong or that you need to do something better. A lot of the time that is just what we call a monkey mind taking over. And yeah, again, a lot of that is beliefs usually planted in early life. But intuition is soft, it's subtle, it can be fleeting, and it can often be unexpected. So one of the ways that sometimes I'm trying to work out if it's my intuition or if it's my monkey mind getting carried away with itself is if it's something that comes a bit more out of the blue, or I might be concentrating on something and then I suddenly get a thought about doing something completely different, something, you know, just comes up. And so for me, that would usually indicate to me that my intuition is trying to communicate with me, because I'm not even really focusing on it. So that's not to say that if you're focusing on something in meditation, when you're asking questions in meditation, that everything that comes to you is monkey mind because you're thinking about it. But it's usually something that's soft, kind of gentle, more positive, supportive language, and also can come unexpectedly when you're not experiencing, when you're not expecting it, sorry. It also shows up in kind of persistent nudges or synchronicities. You know, something keeps showing up until you pay attention. When I was going through my spiritual awakening in the early days, for about the first 6 weeks, I saw a ladybird every day, every single day, to the point where I was just waiting to see it the next day. I'd wake up and I'd think, right, I wonder where I'm going to see the ladybird today. And I would always see one, whether it was like a tin ladybird in a shop that's for the garden, whether it was a ladybird in a book, whether it was a real life ladybird. In fact, quite a lot of the time, I'd find ladybirds in my house. I have no idea how they would get in. They don't come in anymore, and they've never come in before, but there was just this like collection of days where these ladybirds would just be in my house. They would just be everywhere, on TV, on mugs, in shops. And so for me, that was a sign of I was paying attention in that situation. And I did discover that the ladybird, you know, symbolizes spiritual growth and spiritual awakening and transformation and things like that. And I got a lot of signs from nature. I still do. I see a lot of feathers all the time. Wherever I am, I'll see feathers flying around or on my path, which is kind of a subtle nod to me that, you know, I'm on the right path and I'm doing the right things and I'm following my instinct, which is always lovely. And sometimes I would have days and days where I'd see dragonflies, and every day I would see a dragonfly. And one time when I was starting to write my new book, there was a grasshopper that jumped and just sat right next to my hand. Then there were some days where I would see a zebra moth. Every day I would see a zebra moth. And this was around the time of something big was happening in my family. And it was quite a difficult and challenging time. And so I just started to read signs in nature. I also use a lot of tarot and oracle cards. And I would do meditations and pull cards. And they would always be relevant. But I think outside of those more recent spiritual practices, the biggest connection with my intuition came with my daughter that went into burnout. I had an instinct that she was struggling and that it was more than just tantrums and bad behavior. And I just had this gut feeling that she might be autistic. And I didn't know a lot about autism back then, to be honest. I just, you know, read a little bit online. I didn't really know what I know today. And I started to share this with my family, and I got quite a lot of pushback, actually. People would say, no, don't be ridiculous. Because my daughter presents in a way that is unique to her, and, you know, autism doesn't have one type of look, and lots of people can have quite regular lives. They just might struggle with the things that are on the spectrum. They just struggle with certain things, or they just need to gravitate to certain environments or certain behaviors or practices or rituals to feel comfortable and secure. So they're just differences. But there was a bit of pushback, but I couldn't shake this feeling. I really feel like I'm right here. And so I decided to trust that hunch, despite the fact that the people around me didn't buy into it and were saying that I'm wrong. And so then, you know, I got her diagnosed and she was autistic. And so that was the first time that I think I really felt the relief of, you know, I got that right. I got, you know, I had that hunch, and actually that hunch turned out to be true. And that was quite empowering, to be honest, because like I said, I'd never really had that very strong connection with my intuition before then. So that was a sort of quite a big green tick in the intuition box, if you like. And then there were other things that came up that I started to question, and I started to get a hunch. I started to have a gut feeling that my other child was ADHD. I then started to have a feeling that my child in burnout was also PDA. I did an episode on that a few episodes ago. And again, every time I brought these things up to the surface and talked to people about them, people would say, I don't know, I'm probably not, you know, she's just difficult, or she's just this and that. And then I started to have questions about my own neurodivergence. And I would say, you know, I got diagnosed ADHD, but then I would say, I also think I'm autistic for these reasons. And people would say, no, don't be ridiculous, you're not. So throughout this process of identifying that we are all neurodivergent and the kind of different blends of neurodivergence, there was a lot of pushback, but there was a deep feeling that I was onto something. And so when I followed that, and then every single thing then turned out to be true, it was, for me, it was a lot, it was reassuring that I felt like, well, there's something happening here. My intuition is talking to me. I am listening. I am acting on it, and then it's turning out to be helpful and or true or, you know, whatever. And so that did a lot to boost my confidence. Around the same time, I was also working with a lot of clients. I was coaching clients, and I started to feel an energy in calls with clients. I'd start to get an instinct over, you know, what they need to hear or where they're struggling, or I would be able to get a real bird's eye view on what are the limitations that they have in their lives right now and where are the blocks. And I would just be able to articulate that in a way that really made sense to those clients. And I started to also hear messages from clients that you've got that spot on, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Or I would see the transformations myself in the time frames that I would be working with these clients. And so it was almost like this kind of two-pronged thing that was going on with my intuition. I was using it to help me, guide me in my life, and it was turning out to be helpful, and, you know, quite often my hunches were true. But then I was also using it with clients and getting it right every time with clients. And so when I had the beginning of my spiritual awakening, I listened to meditations and I read books and I tried to learn everything I could about how do I really listen to my intuition and how do I continue to trust it. And, you know, I'm now several months on from that period where all of this started to wake up to all of this. And now I hear guidance quite a lot, or I feel guidance quite a lot, and I've learned to lean in and trust every time. So there's never any doubt. I never have any doubt, because I've never given myself any reason to doubt, because I've never really got anything wrong, if that makes sense. And I don't want to sound big-headed about that, because that's not the point. I know I keep talking about right and wrong, but what I'm trying to explain is that the more that I lean in and listen and trust, so sometimes in meditation, the first thing that comes up, you know, for me, I'm learning when I can trust that voice. And that is becoming really powerful for me. That is, you know, I'm starting to evolve with my coaching and with, you know, future plans and with getting guidance of future books that I'm going to write. And all of this stuff has started to come out because I journal a lot. I journal most days. And so much of this is just coming from my inner wisdom and listening to my inner wisdom and giving it the time of day, but also not just paying attention, actually taking action, I think is what I'm trying to say. So how do you start listening to your intuition? The interesting thing is how much are you aware of the inner guidance that comes up? You know, it's a useful place to start. And has there been times where something's not quite felt right, but you've done it anyway, or you've had a hunch about something and you've ignored it, and then it's not worked out well, or it's not gone as planned? I think we've all got those examples. So I think having a little bit of a stock take on where you are on the intuition scale, if you like, 10 being I listen to my intuition every second of the day and I trust it and we're very connected, like we're like soulmates, and 0 being I don't even know what intuition is, what is that word? Where are you on your own scale? Is it something that you feel like you listen to sometimes but not other times? Is it sometimes that you are aware of but you choose not to listen most of the time, and then that doesn't work out for you very well? Is it something that you are aware of but you're afraid to take action in, you know, the nudges that you're getting, or they're too scary, or you're very fearful of that? So I think one of the things here to strengthen your relationship with your inner guidance and your inner wisdom is definitely to try and create some stillness in your life. For me, meditating and doing some breath work really, really upgraded my connecting to my intuition. It was quite transformational. And it doesn't mean you have to meditate for an hour a day or anything huge like that. But creating 5 or 10 minutes practice a day where you can sit and just focus on your breathing in and out, where you might listen to a guided meditation, where it takes you on a bit of a journey visually in your head, where you listen to your favorite piece of yoga or breathwork music, or any kind of music really, anything that allows you to be still or have stillness inside. Journaling is also a good one, because you're in flow. Gardening is great, walking in nature is great, and just listening and paying attention to the things that come up when you are in that flow state and you're feeling quiet and there is a stillness within. Obviously, meditation is the most traditional route here, but there are lots of opportunities to create a bit of stillness. Sometimes people prefer to do that 5 minutes before they go to sleep, so long as you're not super tired. I struggle with meditation before sleep because I just fall asleep. But just really noticing what comes up, and if you have any questions, you know, what if there was a higher self, a higher version of you that was watching and listening, what would you say? Like, what would you want to know? What might you ask? And so this is something that is a really good place to start, creating that stillness, but also starting to build trust with small intuition experiments. So, you know, having a nudge come up, following that nudge and then seeing what happens. I think that practice can be really useful if it's done with, you know, maybe the smaller things in life. Perhaps leave the selling your house and changing job until you've got a bit more connected and a bit more confident. But also noticing wisdom in the body as well. There are some really good guided meditations that take you through different parts of the body. and you ask yourself the question in each section of the body, you know, what, like, so for example, hips, what do my hips want to say? What are my hips trying to communicate? And just listening to what comes up. And I think when you're not used to tuning into your intuition, it can feel a bit silly. Like something might come up and we're so quick to dismiss it, I think, because of that early conditioning and all of that stuff that I mentioned at the beginning. I think that it just feels unnatural to try and trust this little voice that we're not familiar with. And it can feel a bit silly. But this is why I think journaling is so good. You can just write a few thoughts down in journaling. You could write those few thoughts down every day. Sometimes the nudges from the universe or the guidance that comes up is not meant to be stuff that materializes in the next 24 hours. You might be getting nudges and insights today that are going to be relevant for 6 months down the line or 12 months or 5 years. For instance, something came up for me this week that was really fascinating. I really want to write 3 books. I've got my titles. I've had two of my 3 titles for a really long time. But I've also now got my 3rd title. And these just came to me. They just came to me in meditations or when I've been in flow, in creative flow. These titles have come to me. But I've also had this nudge to publish, to be a self-publish my own books. And then I've been thinking, well, if I'm going to self-publish, what would the name be of my publishing house? And then suddenly it came to me, my personal Instagram handle that I created, which is not my name, by the way, but it's another phrase. My personal Instagram handle, I created this about 5 or 6 years ago, and I don't really know where it came from, but it just came to me. And so my Instagram has been, you know, this handle for a while. And even when I changed it, a couple of my friends said, well, what does this mean? And I just said, well, I don't know, I just like the sound of it. I actually didn't really know where it came from, but I just went with it and I didn't think too much of it. And then suddenly in the week, this week, I was thinking about these 3 books. I was thinking about self-publishing and what that might look like. And then I suddenly had the nudge inside to call my publishing company what my Instagram handle is. And I was like, yes, oh my goodness, that is perfect. And then I realized that isn't that so strange? The universe just works in such mysterious ways that it's such a perfect name for my publishing company. I even managed to get the artwork in ChatGPT, and the first piece of artwork that I found was like, that's it, that's the artwork right there. And I just think that, isn't it strange that it's almost like the universe gave me that crumb 5 years ago, but it's related to a time right now in my life where I'm on this spiritual journey and I'm trying to be more present in the world of healing and helping and giving back. And it's just, yeah, it feels bizarre that all of this stuff is sort of connected, but I didn't realize it back then how significant this name would be. But now I'm convinced that that's the name of the publishing company that I will build at some point to publish my 3 books. So yeah, that's just an example of, I wasn't really following my intuition back then. Well, I guess I was, I just was unknowingly following it, I suppose, because the name came to me and I just went with it. But I obviously went with it for a reason, but I wasn't aware of that reason. And I wasn't even thinking about it that deeply. I just went with it. But now I can see how everything has kind of played out that, right, that's like the early bit of the puzzle back then, which is now coming into place now. And that's 5 or 6 years on. So not that every bit of wisdom and insight will take you 5 or 6 years, but it's just for me now when I reflect, I think, that's amazing that I had that bit of insight, bit of wisdom that came up, and it relates to something that I'm feeling very passionate and driven to do now. So noticing the wisdom in the body, or noticing a bit of guidance that comes up, and then just having an experiment and trying to follow it. And another thing as well that I think can be helpful, and I've got personal experience of this too, is being conscious of reducing the noise. So there was a lot of noise around whether my children were neurodivergent, whether I was a certain type of neurodivergent. And I know that it's very easy to be swayed by these outside opinions. It is. I've been swayed by external opinions for a really large part of my life, probably right up until I stopped drinking, to be honest, where you have to go against the grain in that situation. You put yourself in that position. But, you know, lots of people have opinions on things. Social media is flooded with opinions, or even sometimes over-researching, all things that I've been very guilty of, if I'm being totally honest. And actually, in this last, how many weeks is it now? Since the beginning of the summer, really, so all of August and so far most of September, I have pretty much stopped using social media. I use it a very, very small bit for my sobriety stuff, because I have a page and a lot of people are connected to that page, and sometimes people do contact me through that page, so I have to be on it a bit. But I'm not overly posting content. There's a lot of content there anyway, to be honest, so anybody could go there and look back for 3-4 years and see a lot of content. But I'm not being very active, and I have logged out of my personal Instagram completely, because I was finding that I'm just scrolling and looking at other people's lives and listening to hundreds, if not thousands, of opinions from other people about all kinds of different subjects. Sometimes I was getting frustrated about that as well, because I would see, especially in the world of neurodivergence and children not being able to cope in school, there can be so many mixed opinions, and people feel very divided and about parenting and how to parent perfect and all this stuff. It just gets a bit overwhelming. And also, you know, over-researching. So I decided to take a lot of that away and to just kind of take it off the table. I don't listen to other people's opinions so much. Obviously, I would listen to my husband's opinion, but even then, I'm quite protective of my own opinion. And if I feel like something's right, that's pretty unshakable now for me. And yeah, so, you know, sometimes that can be a good or a bad thing. But, you know, for me, I feel like reducing the external noise and not listening to opinions and not being on social media a lot, or taking in all the negativity of the news and just being Googling everything every 5 minutes, I feel like that has helped me to just tune into my inner voice, because I just feel like that inner voice, which is often subtle and quiet, can actually be heard and is not getting drowned out by everything. And, you know, just practicing presence, to be honest, sounds simple, but it can be challenging to do that. So being present in the moment, sometimes even if I'm at my desk, I might just completely stop what I'm doing and just look out to the back garden, and I might notice a robin on the fence just looking back at me, or I might notice the way that the leaves move in the wind, or what colour the sky is, or how the clouds are moving, and right now how the leaves are falling off the trees. I might feel like when I have my morning coffee, instead of just getting the spoons of coffee and putting it into the coffee maker, I stop and I smell the coffee and I take a big deep breath in and I really take in the chocolatey, rich, roasted smell of the coffee, which is a smell that I love anyway. I might go outside and pick some flowers and put them. So it's just like some of these small grounding rituals that stop you running from A to B a million miles an hour, which I have a very strong tendency to do. I just find that they help me to connect in with myself for a minute. They create a minute of pause or 2 minutes of pause. When I'm pausing, something just might come to me, you know, in the click of a finger, something just might come and it's like, yeah, that's actually a good idea. But it's kind of creating a practice whereby you just have intentional pauses in your day. You stop and you just pause and you just take something in your environment. Even if you can't do the meditation part, which, you know, we all have quite busy lives. But yeah, so I think those are really good ways to start learning how to listen to your intuition. And so, you know, what happens when you trust your intuition? And I can speak again from experience here, but I have a very solid self-trust and confidence. I don't outsource my decisions. I rarely ask for help or other people's opinions. I mean, sometimes I'll do that, especially with my husband, because I want us to collaborate and to feel like we're doing something together. But when it comes to, say, things in my business or things about what I feel like I need to do for myself, I don't need to go outside for that. I know what I need and I listen to what I need. And yeah, I just think that creates a big self-trust and a lot of confidence. I think it gives it aligns you with your values, your core values, and then your soul's path. You know, I feel very aligned at the moment with where I am, where I'm going, what I'm meant for. And that's actually a really lovely feeling, because I think I probably spent a long time in my life not knowing what my soul purpose was, not knowing what my deep purpose was, just going from kind of job to job, salary to salary, and making ends meet and paying the rent or paying mortgage and, you know, living that quite 9-to-5 bit rat race lifestyle, I suppose. Whereas now I feel like I am listening to how I feel, when I listening to my body and listening to my mind and my intuition, when I feel in alignment and things feel good. And then that helps me to keep moving forward in a way that I feel like is my soul path. It helps relationships shift, I think. I have healthier boundaries. You know, I've got really quite good boundaries now, not just in relationships, but with myself, with the schools that my children go to, like all of the different things, you know, with friends. And I feel like I show up authentically, and that is something that feels good when you are being authentic and you're not bending and molding yourself to fit into someone else's expectation of what you should be, or you're not following the norm because that's just what you've always done or that's what society expects. You're actually listening to what is right for me or what is right for my family, and you have that deep knowing, and that deep knowing just continues to grow. Then you're being authentic, and that is a really very nice place to anchor into. And I don't have regrets really anyway, but I think there's less regret when you are living authentically and in alignment with where you want to be, with the version of yourself that you want to be. I mean, even if things don't work out as planned, you know that you honored yourself, you listened to yourself. I haven't really had that moment crop up for me. I feel like everything I've done so far to date has worked, but I'm sure that there will be times in the future when you know, things may feel like they're not working. But I think the way that I would interpret that is that perhaps that thing wasn't right for then and it might be right later on, or there's some universal reason why something didn't work out the way that I thought it might, because there's something better coming or something that's more in alignment. That's probably how I would think about it now, as opposed to having a regret, oh, I listened to my intuition and it was wrong. I don't think I would think in that way. And just having that sense of flow, you know, life feels more supportive. It feels more synchronistic. I do feel like the more we open our intuition, it's like a pipe, the bigger that pipe grows and the more that comes. And that just is like a channel for living in alignment and being authentic. And that's a good feeling. I would say intuition isn't mystical, might be hard to explain, but it's not reserved for just a few people on this planet. It's a natural human gift that everybody has. Everybody possesses an inside light, a guiding light. And it's like a muscle. So the more you listen to it, the stronger it becomes. And hopefully I've been able to demonstrate that in this episode. Trusting your intuition really does deepen your relationship with yourself, and it stops you abandoning yourself just to please others or external expectations, which never makes anyone feel good. I know it didn't make me feel good. And so I suppose just to leave you with a couple of journal prompts or a couple of questions for self-reflection. Thinking about when in your life you've ignored intuition, what was the outcome, and what may have been different if you had listened, and just paying attention to that intuition scale, you know, whether you're someone that listens some of the time and then not some of the time, or whether you listen all the time, or whether you listen all the time but you don't act on it, you choose to ignore it, you know, what is your intuition landscape like? And what does intuition feel like in your body? Can you start paying attention to and then describing the sensations? And if you can note them down in a journal, even better, because the journaling is so good to notice patterns and to help you start to trust. It really is. And what is one small decision this week that you can make by tuning inwards rather than asking other people for advice? Just start experimenting with that and seeing how that goes and seeing how that flows. And thank you so much for being here and for listening. And I will look forward to speaking to you all next week.